but didn't include an increase to the value-added tax, VAT, because remember that was a major bone of contention, and we essentially had two false starts to the budget speech. Yesterday was 3.0. Hopefully things will be okay now in as far as acceptance amongst the government of national unity is concerned. So reports now state that the South African Revenue Service has indicated it's ready to take up the responsibility of filling in the revenue gap in the national budget. So this comes after Minister Gurungwana has shifted some of the revenue raising responsibility to SARS, saying that it will be able to raise an additional 20 to 50 billion a year due to increased staff capacity. So online we've got political economist Kaya Sitola to help us make sense of this. Kaya, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon to the listeners.
Thanks for joining us, Kaya. First up, your take on Minister Gurungwana's budget speech 3.0 yesterday?
Well, I do have a problem, which is a credibility problem that the minister has. In February, when the minister came up with 2% VAT, he was adamant and it was quite clear that it was the only answer. Absolutely nothing else was available on the table, and he and his team at National Treasury had explored everything and absolutely nothing else was left. When that got rejected, he came back with a second version of the budget, and in that version of the budget, he said there was absolutely no other way except 0.5% this year and 0.5% next year. He then went further and he told even the courts in multiple affidavits to say that, look, there is only one way in which the budget is going to balance. And that's if I raise taxes. So yet again, he told us unequivocally that taxes had to be raised in order for him to balance the books. That was rejected. And then he comes back tomorrow and then he still claims that he's been able to balance the books without the things that he said were completely non-negotiable. So it is very difficult for me to then stand here and say, well, that I can trust the minister or I can vouch for the minister's word when the minister's word essentially gets twisted in different ways. And then he says that this is the only answer until other people say, wait, are you sure? And then he says, well, this is the only answer. So even with this one, you can imagine that if other political parties say, well, never mind the fact that there's no VAT, we still don't like it. Would he then go back and say, well, here's another version? I do have a problem with his credibility at the stage.
Now, Kaya, a couple of things that obviously caught our eye as South Africans. The fuel levy scheduled to increase effective 4th of June. There were minimal increases across the board for social grants. And now, non-VAT items henceforth will be accompanied by VAT. Many would argue also minimal. But can we focus on the first increase, the fuel levy increase, because the VAT increase was taken off the table. Government then argued that we essentially are going to experience this financial vacuum, which will need to be plugged. You made reference to the fact that we cannot even talk about 13 billion. It's way more than that. Is this fuel levy increase sufficient in helping to plug that vacuum?
No, unfortunately not. So when we go back to where we were in February, the gap was said to be around 75 billion rand. What this fuel levy does is that it makes a very small dent into that overall picture. That's the first problem. A second problem is that this is not an increase without consequence. So what that means is that when you do increase this particular fuel levy, it does increase the cost of transportation and ultimately the cost of doing goods. So our consumers are going to feel the double whammy, firstly on the direct costs if you are pouring petrol, and also on the increase in the cost of everything else, because unfortunately our fuel costs tend to affect absolutely every single thing. There's nothing that moves, there's nothing that gets manufactured, there's nothing that gets developed without some input from a fuel and transportation dimension. So it is unfortunately going to hit us, but not as explicitly and not as directly as a VAT increase would have done so. And whatever number you raise here doesn't cover the gap that we believe must still exist if the minister's word is to be trusted.
Right, so that, Kaya, pretty much still leaves us with a big problem. So South Africans should be weary here, because if that fuel levy increase is essentially is not even going to dent, That's a problem. Now, Minister Gurungwana shifted some of the revenue-raising responsibility to SARS, saying that it would be able to raise an additional 20 to 50 billion per year because they've now got an increase in staff capacity. How will that now be factored into the equation?
Well, it actually is responding to what SARS itself asked for. So as far back as February, SARS said that, look, we've been down this road before. In 2018, we increased VAT. We actually don't think it works, and we still don't think it's going to work now. Rather, give us more money so that we can collect more from the existing tax base and from the existing tax rate. So it's actually SARS that put up its hand and says, give us the challenge, give us the money to finance the challenge, and we're going to live up to it. So now, obviously, the litmus test is whether SARS can deliver on that particular promise. They've asked for money, we've given them the money, and they must then obviously collect these additional taxes that they told us were there out there on the system, but they simply just didn't have enough manpower in order to go and collect that. So the challenge is now squarely on the commissioner's shoulders for him to prove what he alleged was the way in which he could assist in finding the hole.
According to SARS commissioner, in his words, and we quote, Edward Keyesworth is stating, we don't think of it as a lot of pressure. We think of it as a greater reliance on the SA Revenue Service in terms of its role to strengthen the fiscal integrity of South Africa. So that sounds all well and good on paper. According to Keyesworth also, Kaya, the Revenue Service has an uncollected tax bill of 500 billion.
Yes, so what that seems to be emanating from is they do a lot of analytics. They saw you driving a Ferrari last week, but at the end of the month, your tax return did not reflect that you owned the Ferrari. So they say that they're sitting on a lot of the data, and the question of then, how do they then approach you? How do they reconcile yours? That's a question of resources, technological resources and human resources. So this additional 7.5 billion rand that they've been allocated is then supposed to be allocated towards that purpose. And he says that obviously once he has enough people to be able to go and interrogate you about that Ferrari that you have, he will be in a position to collect more. But there's also even those that have already been assessed, but not just because the person has been assessed for tax doesn't mean that they pay. So then you have to do follow-ups to say, look, here's an assessment, and unless you are disputing it, it is final, so therefore start making the payment. There's a lot of those that are in the system, and that's part of the 500 billion rand that the commissioner was referring to.
Kaya, now, just in conclusion, the pressure would now pretty much be on SARS because they were given now an extra 20 to 50 billion a year, and that's to ensure that they could increase their staff capacity. And they've got this uncollected tax bill of 500 billion. Certainly the pressure would be on SARS now in order to deliver. Do they have the capacity to deliver?
Well, they have already indicated that there will be a recruitment drive, because obviously until the money is indeed pronounced at a budget and then finally approved for distribution by Parliament, you actually cannot hire people. So all they can do at this stage is simply engage in the process of identifying the skills that they need and then going out there to the market in order to find those skills or to train those that have the capacity to learn. And once that has been done, only then do they then start the process of trying to extract as many taxes as possible. So the next upcoming tax season should definitely be one of interest to everyone, because we need to be able to see something looking a bit different, like maybe the questions that are being asked are going to be a bit different, so that we can actually see this promise translating into action.
Interesting times, indeed. And your thoughts again, I know we spoke about it 2 weeks ago, Kaya, the MK party adamant, a motion of no confidence against Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana. The EFF, however, saying that will allow him to get off lightly. We want him to be fired and recalled in totality. Politically, as the opposition, they can express themselves on that perspective. But will that solve the problems that we are facing? If he's...
No. Well, firstly, there's no such thing as a motion of no confidence on a minister. A minister can be fired by the president if he so wishes, or he can resign. So there's no such thing as a motion of no confidence on a minister. But I think the problem here is that obviously if the GNU has to find another minister, they'll find another minister within their own ranks. Whether anyone within their ranks would have the courage to do things differently or would have the ability to execute on a different way of putting getting the budget together, we do not know. So yes, you can get rid of one GNU minister. If you end up with another one, the question will be, what was the point?
Indeed, and I think that will probably just open up another can of worms altogether. And we may just have budget 7.0 going forward, because we would not be able to agree to disagree. Political economist Kaya Sithole, thanks so much for your time.